Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, this NBA is heating up. It's a lot of things starting to happen in this NBA, man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And they just recently, I don't like how they had a war show so late. Everything got to be over with, the whole season over with, weeks after the finals. So, back in the day, that made the MVPs play harder.
I thought so.
When Mike got snubbed by Karl Malone.
Yeah.
When Mike got snubbed by Charles Barkley. When Shaq got snubbed those 1 year when he didn't get it.
Yeah, I think 1 year maybe was it Dominique maybe had gotten it.
Yeah.
But these are not the players voting, right?
No, it's the fans and the media. Fans and media voting.
Because what Kyrie said, you know, and this is a ex-teammate of LeBron. He basically said, you know, Harden was deserving of it.
That's right.
He said, but LeBron deserved it, okay, because he knows what it takes day in and day out in the kind of team that LeBron was on.
It was not no super team. It was not packaged to get to the finals. That team was basically throw away the old things that we try to do and try to re-scrap something and let LeBron excessively lose his energy.
It did, man. You know, and it takes chemistry. It takes, you know, they played a half a season basically together, that team did. And that's, in the NBA, that's just, you know, that's asking a lot. Whereas you look at a Golden State, those guys have been together for a while.
That's right.
Okay, some of the more premier teams. But, I mean, you know, he played the hand that was dealt. And went to the NBA Finals. Got swept. But you know what I seen the other night? I was watching the Pistons. They had a show on, I must have been the NBA channel. Magic got swept, right?
By the Pistons.
The Pistons swept Magic.
After he won a back-to-back.
Right.
His third year, I think he's going to get a three-peat. The Pistons popped him.
Swept him. Okay? So, you know, even the best of the best have been swept. Okay.
That's right.
So it's nothing to be ashamed about. And we know the kind of team that the Lakers had when they got swept. Cleveland wasn't even close to that team.
And then look, Magic went four times in a row.
Four times in a row.
He went two times against Isaiah.
Yep.
I mean, three times against the Pistons. Well, no, it was Portland. It was the Lakers, then Portland. Then Magic made it right back against Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay then.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So then, but the year before the Pistons, Magic then won a back-to-back.
They won a back-to-back.
In 89. I mean, 88, right?
88.
So then the Bird and them got 87, right?
Right. The Bird came back and got him.
Because that's when Pat Riley made up the saying, back-to-back. And he copyrighted and trademarked that phrase.
Yeah.
So Magic been there four times.
Yeah.
And only got two out of those four times.
Out of two. Yeah. And they won.
He lost the Bird and them. He lost to Isaiah. He lost to Bird, Isaiah, and Magic.
Right.
Isaiah, Jordan,
and Bird.
He lost to them three. And he only got two out of that potential five.
Right.
Because his record is what? 5-9
five
in the
and
finals.
Nine. So, I mean, what LeBron has did, you know, with half a team, when you look at the team that Magic had.
Man, let's name the lineup. Edgar, Byron Scott.
Okay.
Straight up bucket getter, 17, 20 points. James Worthy. Another 20-point score.
Yep.
Then you got Kareem, another 20.
Got Kareem.
Right? Then you got the defensive stopper in A.C. Green.
A.C. Green was there.
Elden. Yeah. Then you got Elden Campbell came late, but Michael Thompson. About 7 points, five rebounds. Then you got Kurt Rambis before they traded him.
Right.
He was a beast. Then they had who else? They had CDL Threat Magic backing up Magic Johnson. But they had a team that was like, putting up 120 points.
That's right, man. They had some marquee players.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they had marquee players, man. They didn't have throwaways. So, I think, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
That's right.
No doubt.
But then, look, a lot of those awards was crazy to me.
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. The Mitchell boy clown all year.
Okay. And then, true first year.
That's right. True first year. And I'm looking at – this is how I'm looking at. Your first year doing anything and it's being at that level, the pro level. You got rookie, you got summer ball, you got all these pictures you taking. New city you got to get acclimated to.
Right.
Dress code, moving your family.
Press.
Moving your family up there because a lot of people move their family with them. Mm-hmm. Buy a crib. whatever you're going to do with your money. That check coming on the 1st and 15th, that's about $200,000 probably every 1st and 15th, whatever how big the check is, $100,000 check. So this new money in your life, this new arena, this new acclimating yourself, and then you get, on the other hand, you got Ben Simmons that had an injury, and God forsake him for not, you know, I can't control him not having an injury, but he get to sit back, go, and the way I've seen how they condition and how they feed these boys.
Oh, yeah.
And they rehab therapy. It's amazing. So you can go to, you got your food table, you got your nutritionist that's staying with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you on the road, you had a whole year on how to sit with your financial planner. And when your checks come, you could do all your marketing and your endorsements.
It's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, you just hang out. And then you could be in practice as a practice player. And you can work on your game and hit the weight room the whole year. So when your real rookies, your next year comes, it's your rookie season, you're like, I've been in the NBA for a year already.
Yes, you have.
I sat on the bench. I see how the environment is. I see how they micing the players up. So Mitchell coming in, he had to really be a rookie.
He was a true rookie, man.
He wasn't
no red shirt.
Yeah. Then I had to go back and watch his highlights at Louisville to remember who he was.
Right.
Because he was a younger player on that team that beat Michigan
mm-hmm.
in that championship game.
Yeah.
Years ago. He was a freshman. So I'm looking like, wow, he ain't really playing that game at all.
Mm-mm.
And then look at him now.
Look how he has worked on his game and where he's at today.
That's amazing. And I'm glad Patino told him to leave because he would have been in the NBA. No, Patino had to leave Louisville. So he left at the right time.
Yep. He got on out of there, man.
Then another award I saw.
Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, how you like that? Gets fired.
Yeah, I know.
In Toronto. And then Coach of the Year wind up getting a job with the Pistons.
I think he's a better fit for us anyway.
I do too.
Because we need somebody with some grit.
Yep.
Get out to them players and bring in some guys that's not scared to step up.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to say it, but the guys of Toronto just didn't have no heart, man.
No, they didn't.
They had no basketball heart, had basketball grit. They were decent players, but they just couldn't put it all together. I don't think they're going to be any better.
They couldn't translate playoff ball to regular season.
Regular
they
season, do it. Yeah. Yeah, that transition, they couldn't put it together because they had the best record, right?
Yep, in the East, best 59 record games. In the East.
And – got the broom.
59 and like 28 or something. 59-24. That's amazing. Got the broom. And then one award stuck out to me was the award for the Dikembe Mutombo. He got the Craig Sager Award, the Give Back Award.
Right.
He built that hospital
in
his homeland.
Yeah.
And his whole point of playing basketball was not to be a good basketball player. He said he was remembering his first NBA game. He got a gash or something on his nose. He said, I don't want to do this.
Right.
So I can be a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
But then he thought about his people back in his motherland of Africa. And he was able to produce a hospital, the best hospital in that nation.
Okay.
You know,
money that he earned out of the NBA.
And he spent almost all his money on his people.
Yeah, and he deserved that award.
That's a blessing, man. And just looking at that and seeing, that kind of gets us in his retirement years. Mutombo still being relevant is amazing in his retirement years. And that's, I had an article I wanted to share just with people just getting ready to, it mentioned growing your funds and just what are the four habits of people to become millionaires that are not CEOs,
right?
Tech geniuses, or they got a fund that created it, or a hotshot banker, or a millionaire son. And I got these four takeaways for our audience. Go and say, how can you be a millionaire, go from being a janitor, a secretary, and a teacher who became millionaires?
It is very possible.
So one of the pointers is live well below your means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm going to quote it. It says, low-key millionaires couldn't care less about keeping up with the Joneses. They are not attached to having the newest, biggest, or the most expensive thing. Says certified financial planner Kimberly Faust, founder of Imperium Wealth Management. So here's a janitor. His name is Ronald Reed, a janitor and a gas station attendant in Vermont who had $8 million, who gave $8 million to his local library and hospital, had a secondhand Toyota and used safety pins to hold his tattered clothes together. He lived, so that's him.
Right.
He had $8
million. $8
million. Worked at a gas station and he was a custodian.
Okay.
His brother had $8 million bucks.
Not a PhD, no doctorate degree, just a regular guy.
$8 million. And then that thing, living well below your means, is a beautiful thing because I think about stuff. I was driving today thinking about, okay, the cars I done had, the things I done had, I'm like, man, I could have kept that car longer. I could have kept this longer.
Mm-hmm.
And like what I'm driving today, I totally appreciate it because it feels so good being paid for.
Yes, debt free.
Like, that's the beauty, and then that money can go towards an investment.
Okay.
Instead of saying going towards a new ride. Now, I'm not against getting a new ride.
No.
But always see the maximum value on why you're going to get something. Is it for you to show out, or is it for you to say, hey, I got the vehicle for A and B, and I'm going to use it for A and B. I mean, use it for C and D. And it's going to carry things, haul things, carry people, and it's going to compensate you back. It's worth making that move. But if it's something that's to replace something, and you're going to acquire a bill in the replacement, that's not living below your means, and you're going to miss the whole investment model.
And to piggyback off what you said, I got this one article. It was a flight attendant making $75,000 a year, but she lived off of $20,000.
That's my model. I want to get there.
All right. So that's $55,000 a year that she invested in her retirement plan. So how do you get to be a millionaire? That's just the
wow. Look at the benefits she got in the tax bracket.
$20,000 she live off of.
So then she can actually prove that. So that she puts that puts her in a $20,000 tax bracket.
Yes, sir.
That's if she's not touching that money.
Nope.
If she's not touching that money, she actually can say, "I'm living off $20,000."
$20,000, and had side hustles. She would take old furniture. As you know, she's a flight attendant, but she also used a side hustle. She'd old furniture, refurbish it, sell it on Craigslist, eBay. You know, that's the kind of things that she was doing, man, in order to get prepared for her second life. But you don't retire, because there's another article talks about people that retire early that do nothing have a higher rate of mortality, which is you don't last long if you just retire and sit at home.
Man.
Okay?
They don't. Got to always be doing something.
Right.
I'd be worried myself. Like, this summer, I just say I'm going to scale back and just do basketball and work on some projects of my own. I'm like, I can't sit down. Just because of my mindset. It's just that's just how it is.
That's
I know
who you are, man. That's your DNA.
Yep. So you want that rest, but you like, look, it's some other ventures I can things I can get into and invest and build. And that's what I'm trying to go in my case in point. But another person we have is a lady named Grace Garner. Lived in a one bedroom apartment in Chicago and shopped at thrift stores and rummage sales. Even though she accumulated more than $7 million. She accumulated $7 million.
Is that incredible, man?
Over a lifetime living in a one bedroom apartment. You could be living next door to somebody today, they could be a millionaire.
Oh, well, yeah. See, The Millionaire Next Door. There's a book called The Millionaire Next Door. Should read it. Yes. Everybody should read
it's
that book.
It's a good book. Good book. And just when you pay attention to people that really got money, you'll see how they are really into the giving part of it, but they are really into sustaining their normal lifestyle.
That's right.
They're really into it.
They're not into debt. Okay. And the numbers you gave on last week's show gave us a clear indication as to where this country is. And far away.
Most of the debt is what? Finance, right?
Finance.
Going to finance a car, get your student loans financed.
Homeowners, credit cards.
Everything is financed.
Finance your lifestyle, basically.
So you can't be like, I don't want to go to work. You'll be like, oh, well, this car going to get repoed. This house going to get took away.
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice. So it's like, do you want to work for your passion or do you want to work for the money? And that's to pay off something. I can't. That's a never-ending cycle.
And, you know, if you don't like your job, that even compounds it even more, doesn't it?
Man, yes, it does.
Okay, because they said if you love what you do, then it's not work.
It's not work.
Every and that's day about doing work. What you have a passion for.
Man, you can say that 1,000 times. That's what I try to take heed and make sure I do that all every day of my life.
Yeah.
Next person we have is a guy named Russ. He's off from Chicago. He eat like me for breakfast. I prefer oatmeal and stew to fancy meals. So he get his soup. Get the crocker pot out, or get the Progresso light, pour all the juice out, put some water in, eat one of those soups. I do that all the time. And he said he donated $2 million to a society. And then he lived in a modest home owned by her parents. Okay?
Right.
Owned by her parents. And it kept expenses to minimum and consistently socked away some of her income. So $2 million. That's the first one, living under your way below your means. Number two, it says invest early and often. You talk about that.
Okay.
Yep.
The key, man.
That's it. And I always look at, like, when you get a raise, don't say it's a raise. Take whatever the raise is, sock it away. And act like you don't need it. Because, like you said, the flight attendant, she went from 75,000, only living off 20. She looked at, well, she's getting to travel across the world already.
Right.
For free.
Yep.
And then she get per diem. They give her some pocket money when she get to the
hotel.
Something to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all she doing is paying for her apartment, probably if she's single, one bedroom.
Yep, she's single, yeah.
Probably on the rent, probably $600-$700 a month. That's $7,000 a year, right?
Right.
Then you got another $3,000, probably your phone bill and your utilities. They low because you ain't never at home.
Yep.
So she had 10 right there. Then another $10,000, probably got a paid off car, right?
I'm sure she do.
So then the other 10 is probably $5,000 going back into her business to buy stuff.
Right.
And then another miscellaneous $5,000 to do probably, you know, food, clothing, shelter type of thing. So I can see that. I can see her lifestyle being like that, and building it. It can happen. I know one year I lived off $24,000.
You can do
when
it
when I first started teaching, $24,000, and I think I was making $38,000. I was able to put $14,000 away that year.
You got to look at your budget. You got to find out what you're spending.
But I had two other roommates that was guys, and that plan when we split up everything, I was like, I'm gonna live like I'm still in college.
Okay.
Like, I had this much money. I had $14,000 to $19,000 in college when I was in college scholarship and grants that I had. I was like, well, I got this money. I'm living off $19,000 to $14,000 in school with my work study and everything. Well, now I got a job. Let's see if I can live off, give myself a $5,000 raise. Mm-hmm. And that's the mindset I'm trying to get back to now, but figure out, like, hey, if I could have lived off $24,000 back in 2002 and 2003, can I live off $35,000, $40,000? And sock whatever way else I have.
You surely can.
And just really get that plan together.
So but it just won't happen. You know that.
You gotta put a plan down on paper. You really have to. So invest early and often. It says secret millionaires know to hang on to the stocks for a long haul instead of selling when the market dips. This person purchased $1,000 of Walgreens stock and held on it for 70 years. The fortune grew out of a $180 investment she made in 1935, right?
Whoa.
And Brooklyn Local, right?
Okay.
And then it was just hundreds of millions. So then Berkshire Hathaway invested in the stock for $42 back then. Today, one share is worth more than $280,000.
Awesome, man.
Man, I go from $180?
Being in the right place at the right time,
kind of
man.
What kind of financial tips this person had? This is like amazing.
Berkshire, that's our boy Hathaway.
Yeah, that's our
Warren Buffett,
Warren
rather.
Buffett. When I saw that, I was like, wow.
Man is amazing. And we can talk about his lifestyle. Which
he always talk about funds.
Which we talked about his lifestyle, right?
Yes, he always talk
prime
about
example.
It, finding a fund or a security you can invest in. He say, look, don't worry about the volatility. We're about just say the 20-year plan.
Yep.
Put that. He said, I can guarantee you're going to see growth in 20 years.
No doubt. Guaranteed.
Keep on
it.
Socking the money away. You're going to see some dips, but in the end, you're going to get the reward.
You're going to be further ahead, man.
Yep. So, he said, these millionaires just don't just avoid the timing of the market. They also reinvest their dividends. So that means.
Oh, yeah.
So, dividends, every time the market turns out, so many, a quarter or whatever, the leftover money you have, right?
Well, no, dividends are going to come from, at the end of the year, companies, after they've paid all their bills, they have excess money left over out of the profits.
Okay.
So then you take a look at the number of outstanding shares that you have, and they take that profit, and then they pay. If for each share, they might give it 15 cents, 20 cents. But if you got 1,000 shares or 100,000 shares, whatever, that's a dividend, not counting the appreciation of the stock, even if the stock went up in value. Some people get checks. They'll take their dividend checks and they'll actually spend them or live off them. But most of your investors are going to tell you to reinvest your dividends because that's going to increase your growth.
Put it back in.
Yeah, that's excess after all the bills are paid. And that's the profit. That's part of the profit.
So it says that here too. It says reinvesting allows your money to compound more over time, giving you a greater overall return. Okay. Number three. Earn more on the side. In addition to a day job, Donald netted extra income with his side gig as an inventor and a consultant. All right? And then Leonard, a butcher in Milwaukee, earned enough money from investing in his grocery store stock to eventually purchase a corner store, a nightclub, a dance studio, and residential properties. He invested in his own stock into his grocery store.
Pretty aggressive, man.
Yes, he did. So this term that everybody needs to learn is passive income. That's a good thing to have. When the passive income is flowing, it's good.
Yes, it is.
Done had good times of passive income and some bad times. But what I've learned in being an American and being an investor is keep evolving and developing your business so that you can keep generating a check somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's good to have that passive income and say, oh, I went to work, but this money is here because I created this book or I created this service or this product that people need that they'll come back in cycles.
You may have great ideas, you know, good aspirations, but if you never put them into action, that's all they are is ideas, but it's never an action plan.
Yep. So he says, like real estate, you don't have to do any work, right?
Per se,
aside from maintenance and expenses, you just sit back and collect the check.
Yep.
So example today is Airbnb, when people go out can rent somebody's apartment or their house for a cheaper price. When you out of town, you can rent your house out. So rent out extra space, like a room in your crib or a condo you got in Florida, somebody can get it for like $70 to $80 instead of going to a hotel downtown for $250. And you can make an extra income out of your properties. So that's big in this also. Number four, this is what I recommend for everybody. I do it all the time. I got books all on the floor at home right now that I've been going through. Improve your financial IQ. Read, stay in the know by reading, investing news, talking with like-minded people and friends, and seeking counsel from an advisor. Robert, a librarian in New Hampshire with a $4 million estate, befriended a financial advisor who encouraged him to invest instead of putting all his earnings into a checking and savings account. That's a robbery already. When you put $4 million in checking and savings account, man, that's like what?
That's what? Zero almost, man. 0.
You get 30, they be showing those percentages. You get 0.39.
You're losing money because they got the fees and what have you,
that's
man.
That's right. So it says Brooklyn legal secretary Bloom, who recently passed away with $8.2 million, noted the stocks her boss invested in, then purchased the same ones.
Smart lady.
She was a legal secretary. She was the attorney secretary.
Right.
That she knew how to do cases, but she just was like collecting all the folders. And
she was watching.
She was watching and learning from him. He was talking to her like, with your check, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
With your check. That's why it's good to have that great network of people around you that's talking about things. I got a group I'm on Facebook with, one of my buddies, Sean Blanchard, and it's called the Book Mogul Group. And we read books. And the book I was just reading was Jay-Z's book.
Right.
So I'm a book behind because I'm reading a book for the district also, talking about poor students but rich teaching. So I'm reading like three books right now at the same time.
Okay.
And the next book I got to get is by this guy named Gary Vee. And I think it says Go Get It. And he's another person that talks about investing and creating that passive income. But when we get on the blog and we write and we comment about that book, I see other people that are in the same mindset I am in and also trying to better their investments and grow their potential.
Yeah.
So it's
good. Educating themselves, man. Yep. And you share information.
Exactly.
That's part of that education process about investing.
Yeah. So the four habits are, let me go through them again. It says live well below your means.
Which most people don't want to.
Invest early and often. We was talking about buying 5 years the other day. Me and one of my friends, and he was like, that was $5,000 back in 2002. And it's like, we ain't think about buying 5 years.
Right.
Now, it's not even
an
option
afford
right
it.
Now.
No.
So they tax it now. Invest early and often. Three, earn more on the side, passive income, and improve your financial IQ. There's nothing wrong. Get you a magazine subscription. Facebook got so many pages that you can subscribe to that people giving away this information.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube, all
they
that
give
kind
it
of
away.
Stuff, man.
They're
Google
giving
that
away.
Stuff.
There's so many
information is out here, man.
They'll pay you to be a mail courier, like a business like that, where they'll send you mail and you mail it to somebody else. That's businesses out there like that. That's something I've done in the past, and we still do today. I go to the post office, get a package. So many packages, they pay me $30 a package. It's just that easy. It's simple like that.
There's a lot of businesses out here, man, that will pay you to perform services where you don't have to come and be an employee.
Nope,
it's simple. A side hustle.
Yeah, and that's what we got to get our audience to see and think beyond, but those are the hustles you can have. But these people were close to retirement age, and they had $8 million, $6 million, $4 million, $2 million. And they gave it away. What did they really have? Wow. So that's some steep stuff.
It is, man. But it's those people that they were dedicated to investing in their lives.
I know we were talking about books. So the next piece I have is looking at the 10 best books to help you retire richer. So the first one, it says for middle-aged people. It says, as we're living longer, retirement can look a lot different, last a lot longer, and cost a lot more than it did to the generation ago. This has implications not only for your financial well-being, but for your physical health as well. So Stuart Strong, a planner at Centennial Financial Group, says a good book to help navigate expectations for more active retirement is Age Proof Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip.
Okay.
Those are things that happen, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
That's a book title. All right. So this is what Age Proof does. This book talks about this. It says Age Proof does a good job of correlating physical and financial health and why it's important. Armstrong says, now that being able to do that, being able to say, all right, I'm physically and I'm financially fit. I see exactly what that is, because you can have an accident, you can have a happen chance, and something happened to you, and all your reserves can be gone.
Yes, sir. Yes. That's right.
And we're in a day and age that the middle class is three paychecks away.
Average person, three for without three bankruptcy.
Good enough, without good enough insurance, you could be in the hole.
Yep.
One accident away can really, really tear some things up for you. So I just think of that like, whoa. Next book is it says Tapping for Social Security, learning when and how to draw your Social Security benefits and maximize your monthly payments can be challenging. Now, there's another book that's recommended. It says Get What's Yours, The Secret to Maxing Out Your Social Security. The book co-author Lawrence and Paul, it helps simplify the sometimes very complex decisions around collecting Social Security benefits. So you always had those people say, should I retire 30 years? Should I retire at the retirement age? You know?
Okay.
Should I wait till I'm 60, 65? So it's like, it's all based on
how much money you got.
That's it. Can you afford to retire?
Can you afford to retire? And if you can, you know, if you don't need to take Social Security till you're 65, then don't. Okay? It's as simple as that.
If you created a business or a passive income and say, oh, I'll wait, that's 10 years from now, I got my 30 years in, and this business is generating this, or I have a side hustle where I can pick up a job. Or I could pick up a job where I'm working 4 hours a day, and I'm just doing it, but I'm growing my business at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to draw no retirement because I got some surplus funds in this business I started. Right,
absolutely.
So that's how I look at it.
Yep, that's a good way to look at it, because the money is there. It's there. Whenever you need it. But right now, you don't need it for your daily living because you got other streams of income, which is the key.
This one is for young adults. You probably know that building your nest egg early, decades before retirement, is even on the horizon. It's the best way to ensure a comfortable financial future. But understanding how and where to start your retirement savings can be daunting and overwhelming. Most people know that they're supposed to be doing something. They need to be broken down to tasks that they can do easily and habits that they can incorporate into their regular lives. The recommendation is The Young Couple's Guide to Growing Rich Together by Gil Gelano. So the book is written in a language that is accessible and the concepts are doable, she says. So that's the book that I'm going to be getting right there for my age group.
Okay.
So I'm still young. I mean, I'm a young
40. Educating yourself, yep. Man. That's what it's about.
Because where I look at right now, I got 20 more years of work.
Yeah, in your profession.
In my profession. I got 17 years in, but I got 13 more years in as to be 30. But then I look at them last seven, I'm going to have to do something else.
Yeah, that's going to be your career of passion.
That's it.
Okay? You're not stop working. You're just changing careers.
Right. Now, the next book, a lot of people want to hear about this one. For people who want to retire young, are you hoping to retire early? Then you need to have a plan, not just for your finances, but also your personal fulfillment. Okay? After all, retirement can end up to lasting more than one third of your life. Like my father retired at 60, but he lived to 87.
That's a good life, man.
So he was able to see 27 years, collect the Social Security check for 27 years.
That's awesome.
Then one of my buddies, I'm gonna say his name on the radio, Mr. Monisette.
He's still getting them.
He done beat the system out.
He's still getting them.
Mr. Monisette is one of those pioneers of this city with the concrete.
Right.
Oh, brother laid a lot of streets.
He has a lot of sidewalks and driveways, though.
Crazy, man. He gives me a lot of advice.
Good dude.
About investing every time. He said, well, I'm still collecting the check.
Right.
He said, I still got my pension money. I was like, what? I was like, you was in World War II. You still got. He said, I still got money.
Yeah, man. Yep. He is quite a guy.
Yep. So you look at that and you see a person being at that age still having some means and still still drawing a check, and that's amazing to me to see that. So the book, it says, The New Retirmental Mentality, Planning Your Life and Living Your Dreams at Any Age You Want, by Mitch Anthony. This is not a how-to book, but it's rather a how-to-think book about retirement. The latest version has been updated to reflect newer research. So it's a task that readers think about what it means to retire and how you can craft a fulfilling retirement. So if you can go about planning your retirement, like I said, getting raises, I don't look at those. I look at it like, okay, if I was able to sustain this much in this lifestyle, let's say I paid off something, a car, a house, kid's college education, something. And I say, well, how much did I spend that year on that product? Well, you spent $7,000. Mm-hmm. So then you say you get a raise. You're like, well, I don't have to pay that $7,000 this year on this property, or I don't have to pay on this car this year because the car's paid off. And then you get a raise in your job.
It goes all into your retirement plan, man.
All your time. Don't get something like, now I can get something bigger.
Now I can go out and spin it.
I can go get a brand new. No. You got to make
wrong
sure.
Wrong idea.
Wrong idea. So just keep on working and keep on building. We got two more books. For Women Taking the Reins. So, you know, Women Taking the Reins, the head of household. Like a husband pass away, woman become single, or they separate, right? Name of the book, it says, Women's Worth, Finding Your Financial Confidence. The author says, Blaney, I feel this book is a great source for women taking control of the finances and making decisions that will affect their lifestyle and livelihoods. Now, this is the last one for the person that, these are people that don't want to look at the financial plan. They just close their eyes and put their money in and say just wish and hope for the nervous investor. The book says, The Behavior Gap. Simple ways to stop doing dumb things with money. Carl Richards, helping to manage a client's behavior or for those on their own, getting out of their own way is the single biggest opportunity for success. Getting out your own way.
Get out your own way.
Get out your own way. And that could be true. I remember being in my own way years ago.
Okay.
Just like, sit back. You don't need that. You don't need this. Just stay focused on your plan. What your financial plan is.
That's it.
Yep. So the scripture I got today from Good for Nothing, Trusting God for the Least, it says, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and pour into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's okay. In the Bible.
Okay.
Whoa.
You reap what you sow.
That's the law of compensation.
Reap what you sow.
If we are critical rather than compassionate, we will also receive criticism. It's a translation. If we treat others generously, graciously, and compassionately, however, these qualities will come back to us in full measure. We are to love others, not to judge them. So we started our show talking about people that's passed away that left $8 million, $4 million, $6 million, that live below their means, that invested early, that had side hustles, and made sure they were particular about their money. So, audience, the scripture was Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and just building on that, shaking, giving, stir, whatever you give, you're going to receive back equally in return. It might not be all money. It might be opportunity. It might be some grace given to you, but in the same way, it can impact and change your life forever, and then you'll be able to want to see it financially.
All right.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.